The answer is an ecclesiastical one. Good teaching, good liturgy, kind hospitality.
Dr. Carl Truman of Grove City College, speaking at the 2025 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And incidentally, if you're looking for historical precedents, that is the way that the early church transformed the Roman Empire. They didn't do it by a week on Wednesday. It took 300 years. But we're playing the long game.
You can watch Dr. Carl Truman making the case against progressive individualism and all of the presentations from this year's Making the Case conference. For a contribution of $300 by Holy Cross Day, September 14th, you can watch the entire conference. Order today at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy upon us.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended.
Above all who are on. A reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 34. So Hilkiah and those whom the king had sent went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tokath, son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and spoke to her to that effect. And she said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book that was read before the king of Judah. Because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me and have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place and its inhabitants. And they brought back word to the king. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites, all the people, both great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. Then he made all who were present in Jerusalem and in Benjamin join in it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations from all the territory that belonged to the people of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not turn away from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today's passage from 2 Chronicles 34 requires a bit of context in order to gain some sense of what is going on. Earlier in the chapter, a priest named Hilkiah had found a document referred to simply as the Book of the Law of Yahweh that had been given through Moses. They were working on the temple at the time, so one imagines Hilkiah bumping into the document while scrounging for funds to pay the workers who are mentioned still earlier in the chapter. Anyway, Hilkiah gave the document to one Shaphan, temple secretary, and Shaphan brought it to good King Josiah, who, upon hearing the words of the law, tore his robes and wept in the realization that Yahweh's anger was kindled because their fathers had not kept the word of the Lord. Apparently not for a good long time, for many decades, where substandard practices had crept into the cultus and worship of Israel. Now King Josiah charges Hilkiah, Ahikam, Abdon, son of Micah, Shaphan the secretary, and Asaiah, the king's attendant, to make inquiry of Yahweh regarding what was written in the book that had been found. This then is where today's text begins. Namely, going to speak to the prophet Huldah, wife of Shallum, son of Tokath, son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe, or in another version, keeper of the commandments, whatever that office entailed. She lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, a region that can no longer be identified today. So there you have it, the finding of this long overlooked document in the bowels of the temple. King Josiah's repentance to the point of tearing his robes and weeping, and then the king's delegation to the prophetess Huldah to make inquiry of Yahweh. Hold on a moment. We Missouri Lutherans speak that a woman is to keep silence in the church. Isn't that what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 1 Timothy 2:11-15? Yes, of course he does. So is this a contradiction of Scripture in the Word of God? Well, that is perhaps not the best way to think about it. To be sure, commentators tell us that King Josiah could have consulted Jeremiah and Zephaniah, who were the better known prophets of the day, but they did not. Why not? Well, here is a classic case where faithful interpreters and pious Christians need to approach the Scriptures on its own terms and not on their own terms. We must respect the fact first that Huldah was designated as the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, son of Tokath, son of Asra, keeper of the wardrobe, who lived in Jerusalem's second quarter. Scripture's very specificity on these points suggests that Huldah possessed an important office to fulfill, a ministry, if you will, same as Deborah did, who is designated a prophetess in Judges 4:4, and Anna in Luke 2:36. Such examples cannot rightly be used to overturn the Pauline prohibitions and so ordain women as our Elka friends do. But in such cases, God had something important that had to be done, of course, without overstepping the boundaries set by God's word, one's vocation in Christ, faithful practice, and Christian humility. In Huldah's case, it was to point out to King Josiah that Yahweh was about to bring upon Jerusalem a sure evil because they had burnt incense to strange gods, provoked them by all the works of their hands, and enkindled Yahweh's wrath against the place that would not be quenched. It was a hard word, in other words, requiring a faithfully courageous prophet, or in this case, a prophetess, to deliver it, one who would not fret over much about what the king's reaction might be, which in those days was not very Yahweh-affirming. King Josiah appears during a stretch in Israel's long history where poor, unfaithful kings were very much the rule, not the exception, as Josiah was. Women, any pious Christian, whether clergy or lay, are at liberty to speak the truth to power, yea, even unto legitimate office holders, when God's word requires this. So when you become a pastor, your parishioners are quite at liberty to call you to account when they don't understand something, whether this be an elder, part of the church council who pays your salary, or anyone else in the congregation, whether small or great. Pastors are to give an account to God who placed him into office, or to anyone else in the congregation who issues the call. Something else that should be pointed out here is Huldah's courage in not fudging on the severity of the prophecy, as off-putting as this could have been to any of the other kings at this point in Israel's history, who were not so faithful as good King Josiah was. We are training deaconesses at this seminary, that is, theologically articulate women. And I would like to think that one day they might be as faithful in delivering God's word before her pastor or even the synodical president on convention floor, as also Huldah was in delivering her harsh prophecy before the king. Of course, theologically articulate women are needed in our congregations of synod, even if they should not be ordained out of faithfulness to the Pauline prohibitions. Here I think of our own Julene Dumit, assistant to Dr. Christopher Mitchell of the Concordia Commentary Series. Well, for many years, Ms. Dumit has done the meticulous editorial work upon which those volumes depend, checking references, securing copyright permissions, working from Hebrew to Greek to Latin to German, then back again, placing the emerging volumes of the series into the stylistic form particular to the series. Is Ms. Dumit not a highly educated, theologically trained woman? Yes, of course she is. I can remember her studying with me at the St. Louis Seminary back in the day. But does she seek the limelight, put herself first, grab all the glory for herself? And the answer is no. You would not even have heard of Julene Dumit had I not brought her to your attention. The last thing Julene wants is to be recognized. She hates that. And yet her humble, quiet service is essential to the emerging Concordia Commentary series. Now, perhaps we might think of the prophetess Huldah in the same light. For decades, indeed, for centuries even, this obscure book of the law of Yahweh given by the hand of Moses had lain dormant in the shadows, overlooked by the legitimate priesthood and temple service. But then, by God's grace, it had come to light, and Huldah had to hope that her stern prophecy might be heeded by King Josiah. Well, it was so heeded. Josiah instituted a reform movement that was more thoroughgoing than even King Hezekiah's had been. Josiah not only destroyed all of the high places in Judah and Benjamin, but everywhere he expurgated every vestige of heathen worship, as a commentator writes. This in spite of the fact that on account of Josiah's untimely death, there was an almost immediate reversion to pagan idolatry. Then more decades and centuries of unfaithfulness and impiety prevailed in Israel. This is the general pattern of church history this side of heaven, patches of brightness and clarity here and there before heresy and the devil scatter the godly once again. But Huldah held true through it all, and her prophetic ministry encouraged Josiah to repent and issue his reforms, which very much look to the preaching and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to our own Dr. Martin Luther, who rediscovered the gospel after centuries of neglect. Dr. Luther said that we should know that God's word and grace are like a passing rain shower, which does not return where it has once been. It has been with the Jews, Luther wrote, but when it's gone, and now they have nothing. Paul brought it to the Greeks, but again, when it's gone, and now they have the Turk. Rome and the Latins also had it, but when it's gone, and now they have the Pope. And you Germans, or maybe I should say you American Lutherans, need not think that you will have it forever, for ingratitude and contempt will not make it stay. Therefore, seize it and hold it fast, whoever can, for lazy hands are bound to have a lean year. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. I cry to you, O Lord.
In the morning my prayer comes before you.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with your spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, it is by your grace that we live as your people who offer acceptable service. Grant that we may walk by faith and not by sight in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you have committed the care and nurture of children to your people. Graciously enlighten those who teach these little ones, especially all pastors and school teachers, that they may catechize these children to know your eternal truth and trust in you all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you,
my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, that you have kept your sight from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.